to come in?
Here we go.
It's showtime.
There we go. I couldn't hear myself at first. Both of you guys are good. Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, self-producing today. We're going to pull that down. Watch how I fade this down. Huh?
Nice.
Huh? Sam didn't think I could do it.
Mr. Valley has never been faded so well.
No, actually, what happened is, like I said, this is Bob Sansevier. Welcome to the BS Show. Sam had called me and said, well, you want me to come in? And I misunderstood. I thought that our good pal, Tom Schreier, was going to come in. I was mistaken. So I'm winging it. If there's any problems, you can blame me. I don't anticipate any problems, though. Because I've been practicing at home. I'm sure you guys have heard that before on many issues. But I think we're going to be fine. I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard and the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network for inviting us to be part of the network. Thank you to our sponsors. They include MyPillow, Brad Sean Bryant, SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System, the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, actually Dan Garrell from the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Chanticleer Pizza, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman. Mentioned the BS Show, 5% off a used gun. Joined today, well, I've got my two guys, Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney extraordinaire and soon-to-be author.
Yep.
Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the Loop now. Brian Miller is often with us, but he said he had something that he could not get away from. He probably didn't want to deal with the snow. I know I didn't. Now, I have to ask both of you gentlemen. The news of the day was Donald Trump's first news conference since before he was elected.
Golden shower.
That's what I was going to ask. Either of you ever have a golden shower? Okay, let me ask this question. I know neither one. I'm going to take the leap. Neither one of you have. I haven't. Is it even on your radar to think? I don't understand how that could even be attractive to someone. I mean, how?
Especially when you take into account that the how's the sound working?
It's fine.
It sounds great in the sewer pipe I'm talking from.
Wait a minute. How about now?
Yeah, it's better. But I still sound odd to me.
How about now? You know what? I'm turning everything up. How about now?
Okay. But anyway, it's not just the...
Or now.
The story with the...
There we go.
It's the issue that's better.
Okay.
It's the issue that somehow they were doing this to defile the bed in the presidential suite of this hotel that President Obama and his wife may or may not have stayed in is so... It's kind of a story a third grader would come up with.
Well, that's what's incredible about it. And I've never seen anything like this because there's a 4chan, mm-hmm. is a media company, right? Mm-hmm. They claim they made this up, passed it on to an anti-Trump Republican strategist named Rick Wilson, who then mm-hmm. passed it up. But I've also passed it on to like the CIA, but I also have heard that John McCain passed it on to the CIA. Mm-hmm. This stuff has been going around for apparently quite a while.
Yeah, in Washington circles, this has been out there for a few months. And the thing is, going back, everyone was waiting for like all these, God knows, sordid stories from Trump's past to come out, you know, a year and a half ago. It was like he can never get elected because God knows what's in his background. And it ended up, no one came up with anything. This story was out there for like 3 months in Washington circles, and no one could do anything with it because there was not a single scintilla of fact in it that could be proven.
Well, and that's what is so incredible, that it's out there. And all we've been hearing for weeks is fake news and how nobody should print it. Well, CNN and BuzzFeed's connected with NBC, right?
No.
They're not? What are they? Who's their affiliate? Aren't they connected with some major news organization?
Boy, you know,
Hold on a minute. I've got to take a look.
So.
Do you know, Jeff?
I think they're independent.
I don't.
But
I'm sure they're somewhere, you know, up the corporate tree. They're owned by somebody.
But here's the thing.
They don't have an affiliation like an NBC, MSNBC kind of deal.
But even their editor said, well, we can't substantiate this, and we don't know how much of it is true.
That's Ben Smith, who had been at the Washington Post, and he was one of the founders, if I'm not mistaken, of Politico. And then he left to become when BuzzFeed decided they wanted to get, you know, they wanted to go beyond just, oh, my God, lists of, 10 greatest Ryan Reynolds, photos and go into politics. So he became their politics editor. And they've been trying to get into the journalism game, and if this is as close as they're getting, this is a failed experiment.
All it really has done is make more people cynical of the media.
Yeah.
And it's actually made Trump look good coming, because his news conference, he was able to get out a lot that went beyond
this. That's the whole thing. If you're going to shoot the king, you better hit him. So they throw all this crap at Trump. That's so easily disprovable, and he comes out better for it.
Yeah,
that they've almost inoculated him now from any story that could come. It's staggering. The best thing Trump has going for him is the incompetence of his enemies.
That's a good point. And what I've noted is for the 8 years of the Obama administration, his opponents. There was the birther thing, and is he Muslim? But for the most part, 99.9% of the criticism of the current president from his opponents has been policy related. The effect of the Affordable Care Act on the healthcare system, all the regulation and the EPA regulations' effect on small businesses, all the weakening America's position abroad.
The stimulus giveaway.
This was substantive criticism of the man's policies. I have yet to hear anything since the election, any sort of criticism from the Democrats as to a policy other than we're going to make America sick again. They've lost all touch with any sort of substantive criticisms.
It takes a long while to come up with those robes and stuff so they can have their protesters ready for the Jeff Sessions hearing.
Well, how do you get in, much like with U.S. Bank Stadium, when you can get in with a huge banner and rope and carbiners or whatever they had, how do you get in to the U.S. Senate
with Klan gear?
With Klan gear and these foam fingers.
You go in the Robert Bird door.
I was going to say, they're in Robert Bird's closet.
Maybe they
had a little bit laying around in the janitor's closet.
Well, there certainly could be that. Let's this will be an adventure. Let's take a quick break.
I can't wait till Bob starts taking doing the calls today.
Well, we're calling Kelly in Vegas and Ruth, and there's a button I have to hit, and if not, let me just put it this way. I may ask one of you to hold the phone up to one of the microphones if I can't do it with a regular phone. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney and soon-to-be best-selling author, about how to become a craft brewer in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop now. And we will. And when we get back, I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about that we're almost a week into Fleck. And I also want to talk about, I don't know if you heard the tail end of Tom shows, but he is changing his hours, which is going to affect this show, and I want to check with you guys to see if that's going to, if you guys could, if the shift or the switch will be easy for you guys. I know
I got to call down to the plant and find out.
Well, it's not going to be later. I know I have to talk to Mike Gelfand because I may be taping him the night before because it might be a little earlier than he doesn't get up usually before noon. So I need to talk to Mike about that. But first, we are going to have an adventure here, and we're going to – well, you know what? It's not an adventure. Let's hear from some of our clients.
Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryan a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having... If your health care has become a burden, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. If your health care has become a burden, there may be a solution. The open enrollment period is here. This is your chance to make the change to reflect your faith. Solidarity Healthcare, a healthshare nonprofit, is taking the nation by storm and bringing faith back to healthcare, a program that honors your Catholic beliefs. If you're ready to take control, call Solidarity Healthcare at 844-313-4999 or visit their website at solidarityhealthcare.org and learn about healthcare for the common good. Solidarityhealthcare.org.
Beady beep biddy beep bop. I don't know. I'm not that far advanced that I could hit the right buttons for the music. So you guys can sing along if you'd like. Now, did I get to, Kevin? Are you? Did I hit the right button for you? I think I did.
Yeah, but it's still about 500 decibel range.
Oh, you need to be a little lower.
A little lower.
All right. Yeah. How about you, Jeff? Did I hit the right button for you?
Everybody sounds fine to me.
Hey, I did hit the right buttons. All right. We'll keep working on this. Now, let me ask. Tom had said he's going to go to the Tom Bernard Show is moving to 12 to 3, and he wants to start next week. Can you guys do 11 to noon? Because that's what I think I'd like the idea of going a little earlier.
I'll have to check with my agents at home, but yeah.
You don't think... You don't think will be too much of an issue?
No, I can swing that.
The parking could be better.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it will be better because the later the day goes, the worse. I had a guy today... right outside the building, I'm sitting there behind him thinking while he's waiting for someone to pull out. A bus goes by from the other direction. A couple of cars go by. Nothing. He doesn't move. So I go around him. I guess I should give him kudos for pulling over to answer his texts. He just stopped in the road to respond to, I guess text messages. Either that or he was doing a long-winded Facebook post. I'm not really sure what the hell he was doing, quite frankly.
But he was effectively double parked?
Yes, yeah. He was double parked.
See, I grew up in Brooklyn. Double parking is part of the whole. That's the whole deal.
Have you now, Jeff? Are you familiar with double parking? Because in New Jersey, that's huge too. Where and it wasn't like people didn't stay in their cars.
Mm-mm.
You know, they would go in and they'd be in there for half an hour, an hour. It didn't matter. That double parking is something you did,
and you don't even have to put the flashers on.
No, you're just double parked.
It'd be commonplace in Brooklyn sometimes to have a car double parked on each side of the street and staggered so that it was literally like the Olympic slalom. You know, there was one lane for the two lanes of traffic to go through, and you'd have to, like, take turns just because two idiots decided to just park, you know. But that was our neighbor. That was on Avenue D in Brooklyn all the time.
But it was Jersey, too. Hoboken, Jersey City, every city where you could park. And I don't there's no meters either, right? Or I don't recall there being meters.
We didn't have meters at our...
It's just you got the parking spot.
We didn't have
spot.
Good enough neighborhoods have meters.
Yeah, wasn't well, nobody know, wanted to park.
Where I live, nobody got stolen.
Oh, where I live in Albert, we have triple parking because you've got so many. You got developments that are half completed, so you got these little stub streets. So someone has a party and the streets are too narrow, so they just park three abreast all the way down the stub street. It's pretty fun to watch them try to get out of there.
Yeah. So speaking of get out of there, did either one of you? I mean, we had for people that aren't in Minnesota listening, it snowed pretty good. This overnight snow was much worse than what we got yesterday, mm-hmm. at least where we were.
Yeah, I pretty much was a shut-in the last 3 days. I was doing... I threw out about three garbage bags worth of old mail yesterday. It was kind of like a house cleaning thing.
Should have burned it.
So, well, no, it's because recycling.
But people could check your mail, though.
But no, but I didn't have to deal with it because my youngest is still a senior in high school, and that still gives him shovel duty. So he shoveled last night, but by this morning it looked like it hadn't been shoveled. So so what did we get overnight, like 3 or 4 inches?
It had to be at least that. I know this. I had a hell of a time getting out.
Yeah,
I mean, I could not. I backed up like 5 or 6 times because my son plowed last night. And then basically, because of where I was parked, he kind of plowed me in a little bit. Plus, we had the snow. So it wasn't. But once I got on the road, the main roads are in decent shape. It's those side roads that suck.
Yeah. No, I looked at it. I actually had to go from, I had meetings downtown, and then I had to meet with a new distillery client at our Hudson office.
Another one.
Yes, another one. So what we get me to drive from Minneapolis to Hudson in a blizzard, a distillery client. So I was over there. Got home. Fortunately, my wife got home ahead of me because she's got the all-wheel drive vehicle. So she crashed through the where the plow had left the mound at the bottom and left. And so when I got through with my front-wheel drive, I just followed her tire tracks through to get in the driveway.
You gotta have that lead blocker. Sometimes.
I walked in the house. I'm like, you're such a good wife.
You know, you're always vague. What is the number? How many distilleries? That's an easy number for you, right?
Distilleries.
That you represent.
Oh God, right now there's about a half dozen or so.
And breweries.
60 plus, yeah.
It's incredible.
I, on the other hand, I work for one newspaper.
Just one?
Just one. I'm hoping to build on that, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, good luck with building on it with newspapers, because they're not exactly expanding. There's more of a dwindling than there is any kind of an expansion going on. You know, I'm looking at, because and if there are any rough spots, they're completely my fault. I am producing the show today, because there was some sort of a snafu on one of my producers coming in, Sam or Tom, and Katie, by the way. Katie will be back at the end of the month. She's in California right now. But I'm looking at something here that I'm going to play. It's the Jerry Burns audio. Huh. Him defending, only because it's still football season.
The late Bob Schnelker.
Which gives us a reason to play it now. I want to make
it's
sure
not the most timely thing, but yeah,
I don't really care.
Yeah, go with it.
I'm going with it right now. And let's Jerry Burns defending his pal Bob Schnelker. Jerry, come on, Jerry. Jerry's not defending him. I think I'm hitting.
I tell you.
Hold on. He's going to do it. Come on, Jerry. Come on, buddy. What the hell did I do wrong there? All right, you know what? We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to give a call, get in touch with Kelly in Vegas, get her picks for the weekend. That'll be brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. We'll be right back with Kelly in Vegas. As I was saying, you know what? I'm going to have to give Kelly a call in a second here, but let me just tell you about Chanticleer Pizza. They've got about a dozen locations. They've got the Chanticleer Bar and Grill in both Maple Grove and Coon Rapids. I've been there. It's phenomenal. Their pizza is absolutely phenomenal. They have great pizza specials and Sunday specials for football. This weekend, it's a great place to go to watch the games. You got Saturday and Sunday where you can go and you can watch the football games, and it's something you don't want to miss. Go to chanticleerpizza.com, chanticleer.com, and it's well worth it. I'm going to try this again. I got every button that should be hit is hit. So let me see something here.
Hey, do you love pizza? If you do, that means you love Chanticleer pizza. Chanticleer has been in business for more than 50 years, and you don't last that long in any business unless you're giving people what they want. Chanticleer delivers every time. Chanticleer features thin crust, New York hand-tossed, and a pan pizza. 11 Twin Cities locations with delivery and carryout. In Coon Rapids and Maple Grove, you will find the Chanticleer Pizza Grill. Full bar restaurant, full menu, burgers, salads, pastas, pizza, of course, and much more. And there's great game day specials on Sundays during the football season. Chanticleer is your game day delivery expert for the football season. Chanticleer Pizza restaurants are independently owned and operated. For more information, go to ChanticleerPizza.com. That's ChanticleerPizza.com. Chanticleer Pizza, the clear choice for all pizza lovers. Well, I'm back. We're going to have to try Kelly because we're expected to call her a little bit later. And let me ask you, both of you, this. On a scale of 1 to 10, am I at least at a 1 right now as a producer? Wait a minute. Before you can't give me anything until I put you back on again. There we go.
I was going to give you a 3. Now I have to mark you down.
Now I'm back down to a 2.
I'd say you're, at a minimum, the Lane Kiffin of producing.
Oh, that's pretty bad. I mean, speaking of Lane Kiffin, do you blame what happened by him getting fired by Saban on how they performed?
Well, yeah, I mean, thanks for crediting me with my big upset pick.
Congratulations.
Deshaun Watson was going to be the star. Alabama gave up, they had, I think, 99 plays run on him, which is the most ever run on an Alabama team.
Yep.
Part of that is the Clemson offense, but a lot of it had to do with Alabama not being able to keep the ball. After they got the 14-0 lead, they did almost nothing offensively. They had the one long pass on a busted coverage to the tight end for their third touchdown, and then the inexplicable touchdown run by the quarterback and with 2 minutes left to give them back the lead. But other than that, Alabama's offense did almost nothing. Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, tried a couple of trick plays that worked. But with a freshman quarterback, you can't just do that kind of upheaval 6 days before a championship game and not expect it to have some effect. And again, Hurts is a nice young quarterback, but he's nowhere near Deshaun Watson's level, say, in throwing the football and throwing the football downfield. And once Clemson knew Alabama wasn't going to go deep on them, they pretty much shut down the offensive attack. And by the end of the game, Alabama's defense was completely gassed.
Well, but the other problem was this kid, I mean, he's a freshman. He couldn't bring them back. They had no quarterback in Alabama. I mean, I guess he's played better.
That's the funny thing, though, is he did bring him back, and they did score with 2 minutes left.
I know, but, I mean, he's not a kid that you could say, let's put it in his hands to win the game.
No,
it's their running
game.
And that was that wasn't working.
You have to really just, you know, baby steps with a freshman quarterback. And throwing out Lane Kiffin 6 days beforehand just seemed to be boneheaded. And that was the main reason I thought that Clemson was going to win, was that somehow that was going to blow up in Nick Saban's face. That said, the Alabama offense, they scored 30 points. I mean, they were not completely shut down, but the ultimate cause of their defeat was the offense wasn't getting any first downs in the third quarter, and their defense was on the field the whole second half.
You know what? When I had seen, it's been 35 years since they won the national championship.
Clemson. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem that long ago because wasn't the big deal they
that
always
was
have
my senior year of high school.
They had the pause, right? Or that's their big thing. The Tiger pause all over campus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like it's been 35 years since I saw that damn thing.
No, and 38 years was probably the most famous Clemson game. Was 3 years early when they were in the Gator Bowl against Ohio State. And that was Woody Hayes' last punch was against Clemson.
Oh, that's right. That's what cost his last punch.
Charlie Bauman.
That was the thing that wound up doing him in.
There's a funny cartoon on Forbes.com today of the reporter asking Deshaun Watson, can anything bring you down from the euphoria of that win? And they got a little thought bubble, and he's holding up his Cleveland Browns Watson number one jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the downside of winning the national championship is you're going to be a Cleveland Brown.
And I'm not going to play Mel Kiper here, but then there's some big linemen that are forecast at the top of the draft. But that Cleveland's going to be under a lot of pressure to take Deshaun Watson because he is so well-rounded. He's not one of these just single-dimensional quarterbacks. He throws the ball with great accuracy. I said in the loop today that the people voting on the Heisman Trophy the last 2 years are feeling really stupid right about now because Deshaun Watson arguably should have won it last year, absolutely should have won it this year as far as like a career as a career award. And you know, even the Monday night, he started off bad. He was getting knocked around by the Alabama defense. There was a couple of, you know, talk about the NFL targeting rules. There was a couple of targeting plays that didn't get called where the Alabama guys just laid out the Clemson guys. And he bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to give him credit. He's a senior. You know, guys are always, you know, coming up short in bowl games a lot of times when they don't win the big awards or whatever. And he's been the opposite. He deserved everything he got. The guy I loved on Clemson was Bowlware, the redneck linebacker with the Amish beard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It seemed like when you watched on the highlights, he knew every Alabama play as they were starting the snap, and he's like calling over to the players. So they're running it here. They're running it here. And he had it.
Now, we are joined by Kelly in Vegas, brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we'd do better if I knew what buttons to push for this. So, as I mentioned,
it's Sam today, are we?
Well, she said, "Hey, you want me to come in?" I said, "No, I think we're covered. I think we're going to have Tom can do it." And then he meant he could do it next Wednesday, not this Wednesday. So, I apologize for the snafu. I was going to call you on the regular phone line. However, I didn't know what button to push. I am a little embarrassed to say, not too much.
This is how the Flintstones do their podcast.
Yes, the Flintstones do their podcast this way. That's true. Now, Kelly, did you win this weekend's game? Were you on Clemson?
I was not on Clemson. I actually was on. I made the game 7, and I said, "Look, I cannot find, in my personal opinion, I could not find a reason to pull a trigger on either side." So I didn't. I told some of my buddies, I was like, "Listen, I was like, this is a game where I never condone teasing college football, ever. I don't. I think it doesn't make sense." And I told them, I was like, "You know what? I don't really see Alabama losing this game. Plus, 78% of the tickets were on Clemson. Everybody loved Clemson. I mean, Sharks, Bears, everybody. And that's usually a really good sign for the book." And obviously, we saw the results, and Clemson obviously won the game, and winning and covering just absolutely killed Vegas. There was a Vegas bookmaker out here that said he has not seen Vegas lose this bad on a college game since he can remember.
Really? Oh, that's actually funny, but too bad, too. Now, are you give me the NFL game you like the best this weekend.
You know what? In going back to the public dog, here I am backing the public dog this week. I like the Packers. I mean, they kept the train rolling over the Giants. They're a better team in the second half, as we've seen over the last 6 weeks. They've covered 6 of their last 7 games. The only thing that kind of scares me here is we know that Jordy Nelson is probably not going to be playing. I actually wish that I had some better intel on that. You would think him being a K-State alum, I could get some better information on it, but everybody's saying he's pretty doubtful for this game. We'll know on Friday if he practices.
Yeah, the report is 2 broken ribs.
And we know that their secondary is banged up as well. So there's a couple of things making me a little bit nervous. I know some sharp guys played Dallas at 4, moved it to 4.5. Now we're seeing money come back on Green Bay, sitting at a 4. I know the Packers have a history of playing really poor in Dallas, which kind of makes me take a step back and look at it, but they're still my favorite bet of this weekend.
Well, that's I think they have a really good chance, and if they with Aaron Rodgers, anything could happen with them. Now, I wanted to mention again, if we were to find you, people can find you at KellyInVegas.com, at KellyInVegas on Twitter. Also, you're with CBS Sportsline, VegasInsider.com, and is CBS Sportsline? Are you still doing that through the playoffs?
So we are still doing it through the playoffs. I'll actually be doing stuff year-round with them. It just
great.
Won't be as much as football season.
Yeah, but so what? That's
great. That's the unfortunate thing, as everybody knows. football is just a completely different monster. We started doing some college basketball stuff and NBA this last week, now that football's kind of died out. But, yeah, we'll still be doing everything through the playoffs. And then, as you know, we'll probably have, I'm assuming, quite a few videos during the Super Bowl week because there's so many great things to bet on. There's going to be tons of props and fun stuff like that to do.
Well, Kelly, I'm going to, I don't mean to cut you short, but I'm a lousy producer, and I don't want to screw you up any more than I have. So I appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you before the championship games next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Kelly in Vegas brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. And now,
and the miracle of iPhone.
Can you guys hear her okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the sound quality is a little different, but, you know.
Hey, I'm trying here.
It sounds...
The fact I'm glad that we're able to get her on at all. I also want to mention, by the way, that Dan Garrell from Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, if you need a mortgage or looking to buy that first home, looking to refinance, get in touch with Dan, 952-841-9346, 952-841-9346. Minnesota Bank and Trust, member of the FDIC, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 985196. And now, you guys, where are you guys on this weekend's games? I really like the Packers.
I'm coming off last week was, remember I said pretty famously that I liked all the underdogs with the points?
Yes.
The Dogs went 0-4, I went 0-4 last week.
Oh.
I had all the games right, except I picked the Raiders for an upset, which was just basically a betting against Brock Osweiler deal. But this week, I actually like all the favorites. Some of the point spreads, the Patriots line is ridiculous. It's up to 16, but I think the Patriots are still going to be able to name whatever score they want.
Yeah, they absolutely.
The most interesting game to me this weekend is Kansas City-Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger's banged up. Kansas City was my pick for the Super Bowl before the season, and I think they're the only team that has a shot to go into New England and win.
Is Roethlisberger playing? He will play this weekend.
I think he's listed as questionable.
You know, you look at that offense, and you just wonder, and the defense has been, how have they lost as many games as they did? They're so inconsistent.
Well, Bell missed part of the year.
He did, but, I mean, even when he was back, there were games when you think, well, they're just going to roll.
It's funny watching him, and I watched a lot of the game because it was my Dolphins. The way Le'Veon Bell runs now, he literally like runs about 3 yards, stands and waits for a hole to open, then he goes another 3 or 4 yards. It's literally, as Hank Stram would say, matriculating the ball down the field. But he's been unstoppable about the last 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah,
and he's the big Steelers hope because again, the injury to Roethlisberger may slow him a little bit, keep him more in the pocket more often. But it's hard to sack Roethlisberger anyway because he's so ginormous. But that's going to be a really good game. My guess is if Tyreek Hill can get another big play touchdown on a punt return or
he's unbelievable.
Kansas City wins. And then that would be a really good game, I think, next week in New England. Pittsburgh, is that hit or miss? Pittsburgh can come out and beat anybody by 30 points if they're hitting on all cylinders.
And that's what they have to do with Roethlisberger banged up, though. I don't know that's likely or has a possibility of happening. Now, I think I can get us that Jerry Burns audio talking about Schnelker. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take a quick break and come back with Ruth Lord and get her vibe of the day. And then, mercifully, call an end to my producing. What the hell am I doing wrong here? I keep hitting what I think is the right button. Wait.
Job. Schnelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question about that. No question about that. I don't like to name names after a game. But we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for. We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb play when his foot was shoe was coming off up the line screen. We were hiring take timeout. We had a trap play called and his shoe comes off. That ain't Bob Snucker's fault. We have another trap play and if Finney picks up his feet, he walks in. We got in the pass to AC out there in the flat. It's a ball thrown in low. That isn't Snelker's fault. We got right down there. We got the second down, and I don't know what the hell, two yards ago, I don't know what, 15, 40, whatever the hell it was, and Irwin jumps offside.
I'm still partial to the Lee Elia one with the Cubs in 83.
I was there for this
but
one.
The 85% of the people work for a living. The rest of them come out here and boo Bill Buckner.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was there, and I asked the final question in that tape, which isn't on there now. You won this game, didn't you? Because you would have thought that he just got routed.
Who did they play? Was that a Packer game?
That was a Rams game.
Rams?
I think this was
like 87.
I think this was the Carlos game where he kicked all the seven field goals.
Yeah, they won by all
right?
field goals. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was just so wound up. I've broken it down to NFL and college division. NFL or pro division, Jerry Burns, hands down my favorite coach, and John Gilardi in the college division. I like Glenn Caruso, too, but Gilardi is just, he's a classic character. Now, let me ask both of you this question. I asked it yesterday. You're Mount Rushmore for some people were throwing Bud Grant. I meant Viking players. Grant would be, obviously, if you encountered everyone with the team, but of the players, because the question was, would Adrian Peterson make it? He doesn't make mine.
No.
I mean, I went with Page, Tarkenton, Eller, and Moss. And some people would put in someone else other than Carl, you know, maybe even Foreman, or, you know, other people have even mentioned Krause and another Hall of Famer, or John Randall, or Randall McDaniel.
Well, I think Tarkenton and Page are obvious.
Yep.
I think Eller is a slight fraction behind them is obvious. And then the fourth.
It's hard to dispute Moss. Although some people would say, well, Carter had a better career. But I would still take Moss over Carter.
See, I went with. I agree with Kevin. Tarkenton and Page are the no brainers.
Yes.
Some would say Page Tarkenton. But either way.
I say Page Tarkenton. That's how I feel.
I put Carl as number three.
That's what I did.
And I gave Chuck Foreman number four. And part of it is how instrumental he was in their offense in the Super Bowl era. I mean, I always say the reason that Fran held all those passing records all those years was because Chuck caught the ball and ran with it. Chuck changed Chuck changed the way a running back behaved in the NFL.
Chuck would be the ideal running back right now in this day and age.
Yep. I would go with what you're saying because I think you can't have them all represented in the 70s Vikings. And since the 70s Vikings, the dominant player of the franchise was Moss.
I almost went with Moss, but I thought about that point too, Kevin, but then I went back and I said, but they only went to Super Bowls. They were at their zenith at that time. So I went with Chuck over Moss.
Moss will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Chuck probably won't be.
Right.
So that's a good point.
And Chuck would have to go through the old-timers committee, which means because there was a Viking old-timer that went in Mick Tinglehoff a few years ago, he'd have to wait a decade or more.
But in terms of his value to the team in the era in which he played,
great value.
I think Chuck is.
I'm a huge Chuck fan.
Chuck got my vote for number four.
He got three Super Bowls.
Yeah. The first one he wasn't part of, but
right.
No. But the three after. I mean, after Tarkenton came in 72 and they went 500. Foreman comes in, they go to three of the next four Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my point.
And would have been a fourth if it. They claimed that game that they lost to Dallas. That was their best team. That was a 75 team, I think.
It might have been.
That could have been the team that won, but there were other issues that happened in that game. I mean, it's always fun to try to come up with that. But
was the game of the shotgun. I mean, really, that was the game that popularized the shotgun. Everyone thinks about the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But in terms of lasting impact in NFL history, is no one was doing the shotgun at that point except Dallas. And in part because of the success they had as a wild card that year in getting to the Super Bowl, the next year teams started doing shotgun, and now shotgun is the main passing formation.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. But what surprised me is a lot of people posted on Twitter and on Facebook, and there are not a lot of people who think – I thought more people would be arguing for AP.
I don't even – honestly, this is where I get some heat from some Viking fans. I don't even put – Adrian Peterson as their best running back. I look at all-around running backs, and I put him third behind Chuck Foreman,
and Robert Smith,
and then
as
Adrian.
As a pure running back.
Cannot catch and he cannot pass block.
Yeah.
As a straight-ahead Jim Brown style, you know, grab the ball and run forward with it.
Yes.
Adrian's the best they've had, but in terms of all-around running back, I would say Chuck and Robert Smith are both superior to him.
The problem with Peterson is the fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fumbles have haunted him his whole career. It cost him a trip to the Super Bowl.
His biggest game where he had to step up and be the hero for the team. He put the ball on the turf.
And it's never gotten any better.
Three
he
times.
Always claims it's going to focus on it more or whatever. But
yesterday was.
But again, Moss was just such an otherworldly talent when he came up, completely transformed that team into what should have been a Super Bowl team. And all other personality quirks aside, he didn't even have his best season with the Vikings.
No, he had it with the Patriots.
His 2007 season was Hall of Fame level.
Yeah, Randy Moss was my close was right, but my when I went back and forth with him and Chuck. I gave Chuck the benefit of the doubt since I have with Chuck.
I went with Randy Moss, dog. So that's where I fell with it. We're gonna take a quick break. Come right back. Get Ruth Lorden's vibe of the day. If I hit the right buttons again.
Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryan. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryan. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryan will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryan. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryan know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryan will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryan a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. We are back. We'll see how long we can keep us back. We are joined by psychic Ruth Lorden, and I explained, Ruth, I appreciate your understanding. My phone is almost dead. I don't know how to use the regular phone and what button to hit, so I'm going to ask you for your vibe of the day, and hopefully it's a good one on this snowy day.
Oh, yeah. It's a powerful day to accomplish and be productive. Please begin with centering and focus, however you do this. For some, that's meditation, prayer, making love. However, we're going to initiate, innovate, direct, and follow through with today's energy. And when we're in our groove, we'll do these best. Now, wherever there is such good vibes, the confrontation fairies come out at night to swing the pendulum, and late tonight they do this. But stay positive. We're swinging on higher ground and raising the bar.
Ruth, I appreciate that, and hopefully things will go better tomorrow. Thanks so much. Thank you.
That was M-A-K-I-N-G love?
Yeah, I think so. I want to say thank you to Kelly in Vegas. and brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. Thank you to you two for putting up with me. Kevin Cusick, PioneerPressTwinCities.com, at The Loop now. What are you looping tomorrow?
NFC divisional playoff picks.
Nice. And thank you to Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney, soon to be best-selling author. And please give people information about the it's not until next month, but there is a the taste of the NFL.
Oh, the NFL Alumni Gala.
Yeah, the alumni.
Yeah, yeah, the NFL Alumni Association, the Minnesota chapter, does an annual gala in February to raise funds for a variety of children's charities. And a lot of, you know, I'm involved in the planning of another friend of the show, Daryl Thompson, is involved with it as well. But a great group. It's going to be February 25th. It's a Saturday evening, 5 o'clock at the Minneapolis downtown Hilton. And I believe Kurt Knopf, who heads up the Alumni Association, is going to stop in next week.
Great. And he'll probably be stopping in because I wanted to mention that. We will be, as Tom had said, he's going to start on Monday going 12 to 3. So we will be going effective Monday, 11 to noon. So we'll I'm looking forward to that, and I appreciate everyone. I'm not going to take out all the screw-ups because I want people to know how good the show runs when I'm not producing it.
All its flawed beauty.
It's all flawed beauty is the way I'm looking at it, too. But thank you again to all of our patient listeners and our sponsors. And I'm going to see if I can get the out music because I couldn't do any of the other music. But thank you to all our listeners, and we will talk to you later.